And get started. I'm going to start off with a word of prayer. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is a day that you have made. We thank you right now, Lord God, for what you're doing by your Spirit. We thank you right now, Lord God, for apostolic authority, Lord Jesus. We thank you right now, Lord God, hallelujah, for our apostle, Lord God, spiritual father. We thank you for the anointing that's on his life and the anointing that's on this school. Father, I thank you for each and every student that you are imparting into them precious nuggets, Lord God, that they're going to grow and they're going to be productive in the kingdom of God, and that everything that they set their hands to do will prosper, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we just thank you right now, Lord God, that as we get into this study, Lord God, of the spirit of honor, Lord God, that you teach us things, Lord God, by and through your spirit. And Father, as always, Lord God, I rely on and yield to your precious Holy Spirit. For if the Holy Spirit don't show up, Lord God, you know I'll fall flat on my face. I just humble myself before you, Lord God, as a barefooted priest, Lord God, that I speak and only say what you want me to say. Lord God, I give you all the glory and all the power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to start off by reading some verses of scripture in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13, starting at verse 1. So if you got your Bibles, you can turn there. I've been kind of looking at the grades for the quizzes, and I'm really kind of really delighted what I see. People are taking the quizzes and doing really well. You know, if you have any questions, by all means, you know, let me know, because like I said, your exams are going to be coming from those quizzes. So if nothing else, definitely print the study, you know, the quizzes and study those along with what we've been studying in the class. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisted the power resisted the ordinance of God, and they that resisted shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to do thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger, and execute wrath upon him who doeth evil." Verse 5. "Therefore we must need be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing." Verse 7. "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Owe no man nothing but to love one another, for he that loveth one another has fulfilled the law." Amen. We're going to be talking more in the lines of honor and how honor and authority go hand in hand, how honor and God's order go hand in hand. And that's very important that we understand that, because order is really the structure of honor. And God is a God of honor. He's a God of structure. And we're going to be looking at some of these concepts today in reference to the spirit of honor. It is important that we understand these terminologies of what honor means, because when we begin to deal with scripture principles, we will see how there is a lack of honor, reverence, and respect for certain dignitaries in the land, secular and also spiritual dignitaries. Like we talked earlier in the last couple of classes about a lack of respect for our president, you know, and even it's the culture is changing. But for years, people in fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, there was just a lack of respect, a lack of honor. And you can't expect to be blessed when you put them on the same level as you, because they are ministers of God sent and ordained by God for your good. And it's so very important that we honor all men of God. I'll give you an example. Some years ago, 6, 7, 8 years, I don't remember how long ago, my wife and I went to a visiting church to see, at that time, this apostle, he's went home to be with the Lord, but it was Apostle T.L. Osborne. He was at a local church. And we've always been taught through our apostle here, Apostle Thompson, when a man of God enters the sanctuary, you stand and you reverence and you honor him because of the office, because of the anointing, because of the lives he have impacted through his ministry. And we were at a church, a local church in the Baton Rouge area. And the minute he walked onto the stage, my wife and I stood up in the audience. And I looked around this big church. Everybody was looking at us like, what are y'all standing up for? Everybody was sitting down. And it just dawned on me, I said, this man probably saw hundreds of thousands of people come to the Lord. Thousands of miracles and manifestation. The first time I seen him, I was just in awe of the anointing and the grace and the dignity that he walked in, But yet and all, he goes into a prominent church and nobody stands up, But that culture is changing. We're the generation that's changing the culture of honor, of respect and loyalty, to men and women of God. So because you see, when you begin to walk in that honor and that respect, that opens the avenue for God's blessing to flow. And that's what you want. You want the blessing to flow. We talked about the definitions of honor last week. I'm not going to really go into it. I have it in my notes for this week. But we talked about, honor is one who has high esteem, high public esteem. People have high notoriety and reputation. Those individuals who have, certain privileges conferred upon them in lieu of their anointings and their giftings. The word honor also in evangelical terms also means homage or honorarium. And an honorarium is generally a monetary blessing bestowed upon those who minister. When you go to a church and you're called upon to minister, you receive an honorarium. And most of the times, according to the author, you know how well you're honored by the honorarium that you give. And one of the things is talked about in the book. It says, this is what the author states. He says, many times you can tell, like I just said, how well you're honored by the honorarium you have been given. He says, as a result, in this world today, we have a crazy behavior. I think it's crazy, the author says, where individuals go to do ministry, and before they ever get there to the place where they're scheduled to minister, there's a 10-page or 12-page contract concerning the individuals that they are going to minister or to do ministry for. And in other words, this contract is saying, well, if you do, coming here to do this, this is what we're saying we're going to give you. Instead of just honoring the gift, you have a contract. And by doing that, there's very little impartation given, because it's all a business contract and not people coming to hear and to be blessed by the man of God. And like I said, that culture is changing. One of the things the apostle has always taught us, you go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. You go where you're celebrated. Where people, I've even learned that in prison ministry. When I first started in prison ministry, there was a lot of what I call fallow ground or hard ground, because people didn't know you, and sometimes they'd be in their bunk sleeping. I'm there ministering and sharing the word with them, and there were times they wanted to watch the football game or whatever was on. But over time, as that ground began to soften and people began to come to the knowledge of the truth of the word, when I would show up, they would turn the TV off and they would go into the other dormitories and get other guys and say, come on, it's time for church service. And before you know it, we had, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 people just come in church. But the key was when the expectancy level of the people increases, the level of anointing that God can flow through you increases also, because their expectation level determines really just how high that you're going to go in the spirit, and how much revelation, even though you know what you want to say, but it's not going to come out the same when there's no respect, because it's just going to bounce back at you. You know, you say something and it bounces right back, and you say, you know, I don't even feel it, you know. But what we're doing here is changing that culture. What we're doing here is changing the atmosphere, you know. So in various places, people have gone and ministered their best, and the people don't appreciate it by honoring them. It has been reported that people have left a place and given no financial remuneration. I'll never forget, as a student, well, actually after I had graduated, we had a Students for Christ reunion. That was an organization I was a part of when I was on campus ministry. And we had a gentleman who was part of the ministry, who now is an evangelist, come and do the weekend service. So we had him and his family come down, and there was about 50, 60, 70 people in attendance, students and alumni. And at the end of the service, nobody wanted to give an offering or an honorarium to the minister. So I got up and I said, no, we're going to, you know, if nobody else wants to do it, I'm going to honor him. I'm going to sow into his life. I said, he and his family came down. They came down from Tulsa. He was a Rhema grad, you know, and they came down, and the car had some issues. It needed new brakes and new tires. And me and another brother blessed him. One of the guys blessed him with some new brakes, and I think I bought the tires for the car, you know. But at the same time, you know, other ministers who I knew and grew up with didn't understand honor, didn't understand sowing into a gift that's imparting into you. And I realize how, you know, once you get out of certain circles, you think they've grown some. But like I said, we're the generation that's going to have to make a difference, because what the apostle is teaching now on the supernatural, in order for the supernatural to manifest itself in its full-blown form, honor has got to be displayed. Honor has got to be displayed. It has got to be demonstrated. The level of respect has to be there for the men and women of God that God has placed upon the earth. As we stated earlier, Jesus in his own hometown could do no mighty works except lay his hands on a few sick people. And that's coming out of Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58. People with minor ailments, it says. And just like Jesus couldn't do no mighty works, the apostles' anointing cannot deliver people out of financial bondage who do not embrace the prosperity message and sowing into that anointing that's on his life. You know, if Jesus couldn't heal anybody, you know, because they didn't accept, they wasn't operating in faith, and they disrespected him, well, it's no different from any man and woman of God in this present life. But like I said, that culture is changing. The apostolic gift is in most cases is not properly honored in its own hometown. This, and I'm gonna say this and then I'm gonna move on. Last Wednesday, the apostle was really upset because many of our church members, a special meeting was called, and many of our church members didn't attend. We had more people from other churches, from Sons churches, that filled the pew. You know, going back to Matthew chapter 13, verse 52, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown, his own country, because they see him as too common, too familiar. Well, I can be there next week or next Wednesday, you know, but the blessing is there for you today. You know, one of the things I'm going to be talking about is divine order. When orders are given from a divine directate or mandate, it is to be followed, because there are spiritual implications, spiritual blessings or spiritual curses, for that matter, for you not obeying the man of God and not heeding the voice of what God is speaking through him. And you see, what LTMA and what EIWM and what, you know, we're changing this culture, you know, when there is proper honor shown towards God's government, the fivefold ministry gifts, there is a heaven to earth connection that is established, and God will begin to reciprocate his blessing down from heaven to earth. So, and that's very important. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. So if you want to turn there, like I said, I'm not going to labor because I want to have a lot to cover. In 2 Chronicles 20 and 20, it says, and they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe ye the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. When you believe and act on what the prophets or the apostles have said, you show honor. And that's so very important, you know. That verse of scripture is just as relevant today than it was when it was when that was first written. When God honors us with his presence, all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do shows up. And when this happens, the manifested presence of God fills the sanctuary in our midst. And when that happens, God's glory is on display. And when God's glory is on display, all you got to do is just reach up and take what it is that you need. Because that's not even a time for hands to be laid upon. That's just a time to receive. Because whenever God shows up in a sanctuary, in a service, and that Shekinah glory begins to rain down upon you, is all you just, Lord, you just reach up and you just receive from God. But that only happens where honor is displayed. Where honor is displayed, where people know how to reverence, how to respect, and how to honor the anointing that's in the land. And it's all about God's government. We know that Isaiah 9 and 6 says that the government shall be upon his shoulders. God's government is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. I'm going to say that again. God's government is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Ephesians 2 and 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28 says, and God set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. When the apostolic and prophetic gifts are not being honored properly and are not set in place properly in order in their position as apostolic leaders, positioned first to establish a heaven-to-earth connection, we could not and would not be seeing the manifestations and the demonstrations taking place that we're seeing today. When the apostolic is out of place, it violates the government and God's divine order. When the apostolic, God's government, when it is out of place, it violates God's government and God's divine order. If God's government is not set up properly, it violates the divine order of God. God is a God of order. Everything that he does, he has an order. He's not a God of chaos. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. But when his government is set up properly and people line up properly and submit properly to government, to the apostolic, to the prophetic, to the teaching ministry, then God's power can flow in a greater dimension. Honor is the structure of honor, God's divine order. When we walk in honor, we will follow divine order and not usurp authority. Now, the word usurp authority means you go over somebody's head or you do something contrary to what delegated authority is telling you to do. You're usurping it. You're saying, look, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do my own thing. And there's no way that you're going to be blessed when you usurp authority and you try to circumvent what God is doing. When divine order, which is part of God's government, is restored, the supernatural will be inhibited because the supernatural flows freely where divine order is established. I'm going to read that again. when divine order, which is a part of God's government, is restored, the supernatural will not be inhibited. In other words, it will flow freely, because the supernatural flows freely where divine order is established. The apostle has been ministering on the supernatural. In order for the supernatural to flow, in order for God's power to manifest itself, where demonstrations and signs and wonders, healings, financial breakthroughs and just, you know, deliverances to take place, the order has to be in place. And when the order is in place, the supernatural is going to flow unhindered, unchecked. And that's what we want. All that God is, all that God has, all that God can do is going to show up when divine order is established in the church. And we already read this scripture here, but it says, I'm going to read it again. This is Romans 13:2. Whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You don't want to resist the ordinance or the order of God, because those who resist, that scripture is not only it's talking about just law enforcement and people that are set up to govern and to rule from a circular standpoint of view, you know, keeping chaos out of the community, law enforcement. But there's an order, and there's a divine structure spiritually, more so even than from the circular. And it's so important that we understand that, because when that is violated, God's power will not show up in its full blown potential. When we resist the power and authority of God, you resist divine order. God's authority, which is the ordinance of God, and you receive to yourselves damnation, which is the curse, sickness, disease, poverty. No manifestation, no miracles, no deliverances would take place when you resist the ordinance or the order of God. You know, ordinances are rules and regulations, but the rules and the regulations, just like in school, just like, you know, in the workforce, there's rules, there's regulation, is there to help establish order, to keep chaos and to keep confusion going. But when you resist the government of God, I'm gonna give you a good illustration. I guess it was Friday night, the apostle was ministering in Baltimore, and a friend of mine had came over to my house to help me do some painting. And I said, well, we're gonna sit down and we're gonna watch the apostle. And towards the end of the service, you know, we were sitting down in my kitchen, kind of resting up, and the apostle said, get up and turn around. So I looked at him, and I got up and I turned around, and he turned around. And, you know, in a church service, you know, you do it, everybody's doing it. But, you know, you watch him at home and you say, well, you know, I'm just listening, you know. But no, when instructions are given, that's an ordinance. That's right. That's an ordinance. That's order, you know, because it activates something. You see, the Bible says if you be willing and obedient, you're going to eat of the good of the land. You know, I was there working on my house, getting my house in order from the flood. And I was sharing with one gentleman today, you know, I'm about 90% complete. You know, there's houses in my subdivision that are still gutted. You know, my sheetrock is painted. You know, my tile is bought, and I'm just waiting on my last bid on tile. And it's going to be up, you know, hopefully by the end of the week or the first of next week. You know, I'm going to be moving all my furniture back in, you know, supernaturally. You know, the only cars in my subdivision that didn't flood was the cars that was on my property and my next door neighbors. You know, other people parked their cars on my property. Their cars didn't flood. One young lady, one of my son's friends, their daughter parked her car next to my son's car. Her parents, who stay right next door, kept their cars in their garage, was set up and looked like they had the same elevation that we had. Both of their cars flooded and they lost both of their cars, but their daughter's car didn't flood. You know, it's favor. But right. Connection has a lot to do with right. that. You know, you following orders, you submitting to God, you know, it makes a difference. Believe me, it makes a tremendous difference. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. But when you do not resist, when you do not resist divine order, when you submit yourselves to God's government, which is the government of God being properly set up in the church and society. You submit yourself to the ordinance of God and to God's authority. Now, when you received, you're going to receive to yourself the blessing, which is the reciprocal of the of damnation, which is the curse, which is God's glory, God manifested presence, and all that God is, all that God has, is going to show up and manifest itself in your life. When people walk away from, then people walk away from services. They walk away healed. They walk away delivered. They walk away prosperous. Why? Because they're submitting to the ordinance of God. They're submitting to God's divine government. And that's so very important. And that's what we're trying to establish, and we are establishing here at Ever Increasing Word Training Center, not only through the training center, but through the Supernatural Money Come to You conferences, you know, LTMA. All of these are part of the Leroy Thompson Ministerial Association, and it's changing a culture. It's changing people's lives with the Word of God, and it's establishing God's government. You know, the Bible says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth that it as it is in heaven." God is in these last days setting up his government, setting up a kingdom and setting up people that's going to know how to function in the kingdom. You know, we know that there's keys to the kingdom. And when you begin to operate in the keys of the kingdom, you can't help but see kingdom manifestation take place in your life. And that's what it's all about. Let's look at some scriptures pertaining to honor. In 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18, it says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of their reward." In other words, it says here that an elder or somebody who's in spiritual authority should be counted worthy of double honor. In other words, you sow more honor to those who are in leadership or who are elders in the church. And it says, for the scripture says, don't muzzle. My uncle was a farmer. He had a mule called Old Pete. They took care of Old Pete because Old Pete was the mule that helped, you know, them to plow the rows in the field for the corn and for the sugar cane and whatever they were the whatever mustard greens, whatever they were planting. And so you're not going to muzzle him. You're not going to keep food from him. You're going to make sure that you got food and water because he's helping you maintain your livelihood. Well, from a spiritual point of view, the apostle, prophets, pastors, those people that are spiritually giving you spiritual nourishment, you don't want to muzzle them. You don't want to, not bless them. And in turn, by you not sowing into them, sowing honor into them, you're really, in essence, that's like a farmer not taking care of back in the day when they were using, you know, mules and horses, whatever, to do the plowing, not taking care of the very animal that's helping them to maintain their livelihood. You know, I know that for a fact. I mean, there have been times in my wife's life and my life where if we wasn't connected to the apostle, you know, the monetary means would have dried up. I mean, there's been times jobs were lost, but because of a seed that was sown, divine intervention came about, and the Lord turned situations around where jobs were restored, where 300 and 400 people were laid off in one instance. And then all of a sudden, my wife is going from one building to the next. The HR director calls her and says, "Come back. I got good news for you. Somebody in your department elected to retire, so we're going to reinstate you with full pay, full benefits, just as though you didn't get laid off." And then 3 or 4 months later, she gets a major promotion. You know, I was just talking to some of my coworkers today about an incident that happened some 20 years ago on my job where 8 of my coworkers in the department that I was working in got laid off in one day. We were all working together, and it had to do with some environmental issues that weren't followed. But I was working alongside of them. I was the only person in that group that day who was working that didn't get fired. you know, and I know it was God, you know. But at that time, I was a first or second year student in the school of ministry. So I was about my Father's business. You know, I'll never forget that. And I know because of my commitment and my desire to serve God by, you know, being a part of the charter class and following the apostle, even in those early days, had an impact on my life, you know, and it continually is having an impact on my life. Connection, believe me, I'm telling you what I know, not from what I read in the textbook, but it makes a difference. It makes a tremendous difference, you know. And all of that stems from honor. All of that stems from honor. That's so very important. Instead of there being reciprocation, well, we talked about that. I'm not going to go over that again. Another good important point. Honor is reciprocation in terms of honor is reciprocation in terms of how the anointing of God is released and how people act upon what has been released. Honor is reciprocate. That word reciprocate means, you know, you, when something is sold into you or something is given out, you have to reciprocate. You know, when spiritual things are being sown into your life, you reciprocate with monetary things. You know, there's a reciprocation. When you talk about the reciprocal in mathematics, you know, if it was 1/5, then it's 5/1. It reciprocates. Okay. Well, when spiritual things are reciprocated to you or are turned in your direction, well, then you have to turn your monetary things so that you can receive the benefits of that reciprocation. So honor is reciprocation in terms of how the anointing is released and how people then now act upon what has been released. You got to act upon what's been released. In ministry, this is very important. In ministry, there needs to be reciprocation where people are sowing into a gift and receiving the importation instead of establishing business contracts where there's no importation. And by business contracts, I was talking about how a minister goes to minister somewhere, and before he gets to the minister, he has to sign some contract saying that this is what you're going to get. You know, if in other words, if the offering is $10,000, all you get is $1,000. And that's why a lot of, you know, ministers today, I know the apostle does it, Jesse Duplantis does it. They collect their own offering. You know, because a lot of times the churches say, well, he's a big drawing card. And so we want to put our hands in the pot. But people there to hear the anointing, you know, and what they don't realize is that if they just give the gift free course and let the gift operate and let the people bless the gift that came to be a blessing to them, well, then now the blessing is going to be released on their church. So what's on the apostle now? That residue is going to stay with them and stay with that church. And so all of a sudden now the offerings start to increase. People start to give because, you know, as they give unto the apostle, all of a sudden now business contracts begin to open up for their lives, promotions on their jobs, and money is showing up in unexpected places. So now they're excited. So now they're going to be sowing in their pastor, you know, but when you muzzle the ox, by, you know, not giving him his due, what's the word I want to use? His due honorarium, you know, you just stop the flow of blessings for your congregation and for yourself. And you got people that do that. But as I stated earlier, my time is rounding down, man. I had no idea. But that culture, like I said, is changing. Let me move on. Okay, let's talk about the concept of spiritual fathers for a second. This is the whole concept of what spiritual fathering is all about. Elijah was the spiritual father of Elijah. And because Elijah honored Elijah, he received a double portion transfer of importation from Elijah. The mantle fell upon Elijah because he served and he honored his man of God. And that's the whole concept of what a spiritual father, you're allowing somebody to pour into your life. In his lifetime, Elijah performed twice as many miracles as Elijah did because he had a double portion importation of Elijah's anointing and his mantle. Okay, here's another important concept here. Sons must realize that the hands of the father releases the blessing to them. Furthermore, we sons must honor, respect, and acknowledge that the Father has been empowered to impart and convey the blessing that we need. And that's so very important, you know, that sons realize that that the hands of the Father releases the blessing. OK. And furthermore, sons must honor and respect and acknowledge that the Father has been empowered, you know, to release that blessing upon their lives. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, for though we have 10,000 instructors, yet we have not many fathers in Christ. Then Paul says, I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul being a spiritual father, the sons of the Father should receive the blessing, the gifts and the benefits, the favor and anointing, the mantle that's on their spiritual father. Instead, many receive the curse for being bastard children because of their acts of disobedience. You know, a lot of times, you know, somebody may start off with their man of God, but some kind of way, for whatever reason, they get disconnected and they dishonor. And the author talks about men who dishonored their spiritual fathers and how their ministry was basically, dried up. And one man actually went crawling back to his man of God with a gift and asking for repentance so that he can get the curse released off of his life because he put his mouth on his spiritual father. That's something you don't want to do. You know, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, another important point. It says in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet, which is an apostolic source, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I smite the earth with a curse. That's the last two verses in the book of Malachi. Behold, I send Elijah, the prophet, before the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. And that spirit of Elijah, which is an apostolic spirit, okay, it turns the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. How can I say this? That's where the blessing is. When you connect properly with whom God has joined you to. I mean, when I connected to the apostle, I knew that there was an immediate change, immediate difference in my life. A spiritual father is somebody who puts vision on the inside of you, who even though you might have been saved prior to you coming to union with them, but all of a sudden, the light that God put on the inside you for ministry or for whatever he's called you to do, when you're around your spiritual father, that light becomes brighter. It amplifies it. And the urgency to do what God called you to do gets forefront, because it's almost like he's looking directly on. I remember the first time I met the apostle, me and my wife sat at it in his office. We had been married for a couple of years, and we were going through some little marital pains, like every couple done. My daughter was less than a year old, and I mean, I knew God had a call on my life, but I, you know, at the time was kind of like, Lord, I really don't know how to fulfill it and how to go about doing it. So I was just kind of stalemated, you know, and that was causing friction in the marriage. And so good friends of ours, who was a member of the church, talked to the apostle, and he said he would sit down back in the days when he was doing counseling, which he doesn't do very much now anymore. But he looked at me and he said, son, he said, you need to be pastored. He said, you need to begin to develop what's on the inside of you, and you need to be pastored. You know, he said, you can come and sit and glean from my ministry. You don't have to leave your church. He said, but you need to be pastored. In other words, you need somebody to jerk the slack out of you. And it what he said pierced me so much until I immediately became, it was almost like it was a holy reverential fear. You know, and Lord, you know, it was almost like he had from a mystical point of view, like a crystal ball, and he could just see everything, you know. But that's that apostolic gift. You know, God gave him insight and wisdom and revelation, you know. And as I yielded to what he said, it took me a while to kind of come to my senses. And then I came to church and I joined, and I haven't looked back ever since. But that's a spiritual father. They put that vision. And the minute I joined the church, the school of ministry opened up. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, yeah, this is where you need to be. And I think the last day of registration, I put my application in, you know, but I hadn't looked back since. And that's been almost 25 years ago or so, you know, but that's what a spiritual father does. And you know, through the years, I've continued to submit and to serve and to just be at whatever capacity that he wants me to be, learning how to get in the way and how to get out of the way. But at the same time, always have a servant's heart. Let me move on because my time is moving. In these last days that we're in, God has sent the spirit of Elijah back into the earth to turn the hearts of the sons and the daughters toward from bastard style ministries. In other words, fatherless ministries, to the hearts of their God given spiritual fathers, their apostolic source, so that they might receive impartation of a double portion of anointing, the mantle that they need. And that's so very important. Another point. Ministry gifts need to be respected and honored so that the revelation of impartation can be released. Honoring the gift that God has sent to you will release the Father's blessing in your life. Ministry gifts need to be respected and honored so that the revelation and impartation can be released. Honoring the gift that God has sent to you will release the Father's blessing in your life. If people don't honor the apostolic gift, what's on that gift, which is the blessing, will not be released to those who need it. And that's a terrible thing. You know, it's terrible when God sends a gift, but what the gift has to offer is not received. You know, well, for Christmas and for birthdays, people give you gifts. You know, how many people say, I don't want that? But when you don't show up, or when you're complacent and you come in late, and you just take it nonchalantly, like, well, you know, that's just pastor. That's like saying I don't want what the blessings that you're giving. I don't need it, you know. And in these last days, I'm getting all off my notes. We're gonna need the blessing and the anointing that's on our man of God, because. You know, we think we have seen some natural disasters and the shootings and the things that's happening in the world today. But the Bible says as the end draws closer, there's going to be more wars, more rumors of wars, more natural disasters, more things taking place. And we now more than any other time in our lives need a covering over our lives. We need apostolic covering. You know, we need to be able to honor that. So when things happen, yeah, sure, it might touch you, but it's not going to affect you. You know, yeah, I was touched with some of water, but it didn't affect me. I mean, I'm coming out already better than I was prior to it. A lot better, a whole lot better. People who have insurance, waiting on insurance, I didn't have to wait on nobody. I didn't have the insurance, the flood insurance. I just, hey, look, we're moving on with this project. It's coming to completion quick, fast, in a hurry. And it's been a piece of cake. Why? Because of the apostolic anointing. You know, favor, just favor upon favor. And that's so very important. Let's see. We must understand God's divine order before we can properly understand how to operate properly in the spirit of honor. And then we talked earlier about Romans 13, 1 and 7, how, you know, God establishes order. God is a God of order, so there will not be chaos in the land. Very, very important that we understand that. God is a God of order. He sets up authorities because he wants divine order in his kingdom. Without some form of order, there will be chaos, confusion, and anarchy. God is a God of order. He sets up authorities because he wants divine order in his kingdom. Without some form of order, there will be chaos, confusion, and anarchy, which will result in there being dishonor and disrespect in the land for those who are in authority. So, I mean, we serve a God of order. And it's so very important that we understand and recognize divine order. Delegated authority. God puts people in delegated authority. And as he delegates authority to them, we're to submit to delegated authority. Just as if God spoke to us personally. Because if we don't obey God's delegated authority, we're not going to obey God. Matter of fact, don't expect God to speak to you if you don't obey who God's put over you and is speaking into your life. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I can hear from God myself. But when you circumvent God's delegated authority and feel like, oh, well, I don't need authority to speak into my life, well, then, you know, basically you're already out of order, because all through the Bible, all through everything that God has set up for his kingdom, he has always been a man leading his people into the promised land, lead him out of bondage. You know, God always uses a vessel. And the more we understand that and recognize, as we submit properly and honor the vessel and the man of God that God has placed in our lives, well, then we're able now more so to walk in the blessing. In the next couple of classes, we're going to begin to get more into the book, more into some instances where men and women disobeyed. They disobeyed the delegated authority. They went about displaying dishonor. And we're going to begin to see the consequences in the upcoming lessons, the consequences of disobedience, and how God hates disobedience and disrespect and dishonor, because God will be honored and he will be respected, and his delegated authority will be honored and respected. Amen. All right, we're going to conclude with that, and we'll see everybody next week. Be blessed.